on a day shift, what time would you have to get up to go to work?
Probably very early. I can't remember.
Uh-huh.
Those days bothered me to get up early. Now it doesn't, but those days, yeah.
Uh-huh. And what time did you go in on the night shift?
Well, night shift. It seemed like I had to be there at 11:30 or 12.
It was a graveyard.
It was graveyard, yes.
Uh-huh.
Graveyard.
Was there more pay for working at a graveyard?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
2 pennies an hour, I can't remember. 6 or 5, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
So, and you worked, I think, 7.5 hours, not 8.
Uh-huh. What was the pay for the work like?
Well, I would say, thinking back, kind of relaxing. It, what my job was, and what I was doing, because you couldn't just sit around and do nothing. And sometimes, I wouldn't say slow, but I wouldn't say fast. I mean, you couldn't just stand like this when you are working. And when there's work, you have to do it. But it wasn't like rush, rush, rush. And you had to, you know, the part that I always, that always bothered me, but all the time I worked there was my standing up all the time. But the pace, I'd say, was medium.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the second job that you went to, was it a different set of people in your
organization?
Was it about the same number in your department?
Well, at night there were less, even though it was kind of in the graveyard shift. I didn't work in the same section, of course. I worked in a different section. It seemed like I had to go up steps. Well, no, not always. The wing was so long, you work down here, you're down here, you walk up steps to go to another level. There were people, but you couldn't see all the people as much as you could when I worked days, because I worked in a different department. It was set up different. It was it was long, long room. And there were people way down there. But it was because graveyard always had, as far as I hear, less people. There were a lot of people working with me. I can't tell you how many. Could be 4, 5, 6. I wouldn't say there were many people. There was a lead man walking around, and another lead man sort of walking around, coming there and sometimes helping you. But nothing. I was conscious of that many people there. No, there weren't many at all. And it's about the same ratio, if you want to say that, today, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like the graveyard, when I talked to some, especially one guy in the graveyard, it seemed like I noticed more men in the graveyard shift around there. I mean, at the swing shift. Like when I'd come in, it was always when the swing was getting off, and it just seemed like I was conscious of more men than women. But maybe it's because of where I was working.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't really mean anything, I don't think.
Did you get to know the people that you were working with?
Oh, yeah, I always did.
Uh-huh.
I always did.
Did they sit and talk to you?
Well, I always made friends with them. Always someone, yeah, there's always someone that you worked with that you had lunch with or something.
Uh-huh.
Not the first day or so, but, you know, a few days you get acquainted.
Women?
With me, with women.
That you ate lunch with
me, with women, yes.
Uh-huh.
Me, with women.
What kinds of things did you talk about?
Oh, I don't know, it's more of the same thing women talk about now. I just remember one time you'll laugh at you some of the things you hear that we talked about. We say, and first of all, I talk more now than I did then. And I made friends as much then as maybe more than I do now. In those days, even though I talked less, and I did more listening than I do now. And I was meeting all kinds of people. Very, very, if nothing else in my life has made me aware of all kinds of people that working there did. I no matter what kind of upbringing you have, you sort of All you know is from what you know from your relatives and friends in your area, and my family, my friends, where I live. And in overall, I probably have met a different kind of people, but I didn't know. No one told me that, as far as I know, most of the people thought the way my family did, thought the way the people in town did. But here I met people that, my God, are some of the stories that I heard, their personal lives, as far as romance was concerned, as far as family was concerned, as far as the background's concerned, you know, I really never knowingly met anyone that came from the country, even, from little towns I never heard of. So it was really a very learning experience. So I did a lot of listening, but we probably talked about cooking and sewing, and I don't know about sewing maybe, but about this one and that one there. And I know one time that somebody, something about a Jew, we were just sitting in a group, and I wasn't chummy with all of them, but we were just worked together, and I can't remember being any more closer to anyone in particular. But and then I said, well, I'm a Jew. It seemed like it was something insulting, I thought, I guess, running a Jewish person down. And so then I got my dander up, and I said, oh, I'm a Jew. And then now I'm used to it, but to this day, I'll never forget that one girl, and I said to myself, she looks like a typical Gentile. Isn't that silly? So I was just as prejudiced as she was, I guess. And I am, I guess. I don't think I am, but I guess I am. But I said, well, she's a typical Gentile. But I didn't use the word Gentile. I said, Goy. That was it. And the first thing she said, oh, some of my best friends are Jewish, you know. And so I kept quiet. But now what, if someone said that to me, maybe I'd keep quiet, but I think different. Uh-huh. But we talked about our jobs, probably, and this man and that man and this one having a romance and what you think about that one. And they would tell me about, and I was so innocent, I thought, I guess, that about these two women we didn't use the word queer. Fairies. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the first time I was conscious of fairies. And I would say, not that I'm not gullible. I don't believe, even then I didn't believe everything I heard. But you still have to prove things to me, even now. And even in those days, and why am I saying it? Because I mean that. I don't care what people are. But at least now I won't say I understand, but, you know, like you hear pro and con about it. People can do whatever they want. But at least I know what they're talking about when they say homosexual. In those days, I wasn't quite sure. And then I asked this one woman, I said, we all had to wear pants. And so in a way that's, and some people wore frilly blouses. Oh, I didn't wear frilly blouses, but I wore prints. And some women wore, maybe they wear more mannish shirts. Maybe if they wore their brother's or father's shirts, I wouldn't blame them. But there was one woman in particular, she had short mannish haircut. And so it said she, that woman, and another woman, were lovers. And so I once asked, but yeah, how can you tell? Just because of the way they did, we're all wearing pants. She said, so you ever go in the bathroom and watch him? I said, well, I said, how could you go in the bathroom and watch them? She said, well, you watch them, they're facing the toilet. And to this day, I tell you, I was so embarrassed, and I'll never know whether, I don't believe that anyway. I wasn't sure then, and I didn't know what to say because I was embarrassed. And what do you say to something like that? But I became aware that there's all kinds of people. Uh-huh. And to this day, I learned more by meeting all kinds of people there. And I think more people should meet all kinds of people with different backgrounds. That's it, people with different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. So were they saying that, were both of these women very mannish?
For some reason, because these, from what I gather, is that one looked more mannish, the other one looked more feminine. And they were together a lot. They just didn't mingle with everybody. I don't mean that I mingled with everybody, far from it. In the little group, and those women, as far as I know, were there before I was there. I knew nothing about them, and to this day, I never knew any more about them after that. And I don't remember whether I was ever in the bathroom with them, And I don't remember if they ever went in at the same time, and I don't remember much about them. I know one thing definitely, that to this day, I never watch how people stand in the bathroom. I always think about them any time I thought about that, I know I'm talking a lot, I'm wasting time.
No, you're not.
But I started to do a lot of thinking then. I'm not saying because of them, those women at all, far from it, but because of I was very narrow. I must have been narrow in my thinking, and by meeting all kinds of people from different backgrounds, makes you realize that hey, you expand your thinking, and what I realized too, and even through later jobs, you find out that some people tell you every little detail about their personal problems. Some don't. Most of them, to me, do. Some of them tell you such embarrassing things that I wouldn't dare tell anyone. But I realize that there's all kinds. And I think that whatever I am, that's made me, good or bad, made me, it's part of what I am.
Uh-huh. You mentioned before about them talking about the men and the romances. Was there much flirting around at the time?
Well, I think so. I think that I can think of a couple that a woman that it seemed like she was married and she seemed to be hanging around this man. It seems to me that a man would hang around this woman more, and others I've heard that someone said, "Did you know about this one, that one?" You know, but I wouldn't say it was rampant all over. It might have been, but most of it, actually, you can be working in a great big place, but you're more conscious of what's going around where your eyes can see without, you know. But I've seen some of it, yeah. But I've seen some of it in places, in factories, or places where, even when I worked in the town, which wasn't in the factory, I've seen romances there.
Uh-huh. Did you get, was there much, did the men ever say, tease the women, or?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. I've been teased, yeah. I think he.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Was there, cases of, say, men who would be fresh with the women? Or?
Well, I have been, I have not seen that.
Uh-huh.
There might have been, I have not seen, or maybe even heard of anyone complaining about this one, this guy being too fresh with so-and-so and a woman complaining about a man's advances. There probably must have been a lot of that. I have been, I wouldn't say proposition, I've been asked on dates to go on a date, you know, as married. But sometimes, whether they were kidding or not, just a few, not many.
Mm-hmm.
I once worked at not in Lockheed, but I worked in an aircraft. I went back east and I came back and worked somewhere else, and there was a Mexican fellow that I had to ask him for directions to another man because I was looking for a ride.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I got to know this Mexican fellow. Very nice man. And so after, you know, whenever I'd go by, he'd go by, he'd talk to me. He'd about work, asked how I was, and I kind of thought he liked me, but he never made any advances even with words until one day he asked me if I'd go out on a date with him. And I was so surprised, and shouldn't have been, and I was so prejudiced, you'd say, that I said no, and I have a boyfriend. Because he's such a nice guy, and I didn't want to hit him. The only reason why I wouldn't go out with him because he was Mexican. How ridiculous. In those days, I was ridiculous. But I haven't seen anyone be fresh.
Uh-huh.
I'll complain.
When you were working at Lockheed, were there any people who were, what they call
Okies,
I guess?
Oh, yeah, yes. The fact is, Helen, the one I told you about, whose husband was lost, I guess, in Pearl Harbor.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know it that day, but she's from Oklahoma.
Did it seem like there were other people around who were from the States,
Midwest? Yeah,
out?
Quite a few.
Uh-huh.
I had a nice friend from Nebraska, a woman from Nebraska, a young woman I once met.
Uh-huh. Were they thought of any differently?
Oh, I don't know. Could be. Some people might have called them Okies. And,
uh-huh.
You know, they would be conscious of it, not me.
Uh-huh. Was there... you had to do?
Oh, yes, you have to definitely wear a hairnet. And I guess there were a lot of, I know that we, went by drilling, you know, there's a lot of little metal shavings around. We always walked in, not a lot, but there were all, we sort of used the, we had to clean up our air and we had to even clean ourselves up.
Uh-huh.
And we had, some, there was a, like an ear hose, ear. I can't remember what they used it for, and we used to use it on them. They told us not to. But that would, rather brushing it off, that would blow it off a lot better, but they didn't like us to do that. They were very conscious of cleanliness around there. Whatever had to be done, we did. And every so often, it seemed like there were, they would, I don't know, they would, we'd get papers or something about safety and watch this. They were especially careful of, they talked about the hairnet an awful lot about women, because there was a story going around that these long drills, you know, if you didn't hold it a certain way, you know, and it could flip, you know, and they say one, oh, they're very flexible. The longer, the more flexible. And there was a story that you couldn't just hold the drill. You couldn't just hold the drill. It was a, you know, you had to hold the drill and hold it a certain way, hold on to that drill, the drill itself, and then the drill bit. And there was a story that they used to check their hair nets an awful lot, because some people would have, we all had long hair.
Uh-huh.
And even with hair nets, some women were, maybe they couldn't help it. But there was a story going around more than once that a hair drill, I mean, a drill was caught in the woman's hair and just scalped her. It could happen. I don't know if it was ever true, but it's a good story to scare people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very possible that it could have happened, because a lot of times, even when you were careful, sometimes pulling it away, you couldn't let go right away. You know, they had to teach me and everybody else how to hold on to that drill and the bit, and not just because you pull it away from where you're drilling, and it won't just let go. You know, and had to be careful to turn it off when we went. They emphasized that safety an awful lot, I thought.
Were you ever injured on the job then?
Not there.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in another place I was injured.
Yeah. Well, did you know of anybody else around you who was injured during the war years?
Well, I did, but I can't remember. It seemed like I heard someone.
Uh-huh.
But no, I can't remember.
Were there special services at Lockheed?
What?
Was there like a first aid?
Well, there was a first aid. I just know there was.
Did they have counselors then?
Not that I know of. Not
women counselors. Or
I don't remember. If there were, I never had seen any of them.
Uh-huh. Did they have any banking or shopping services?
Banking?
Uh-huh. The place where you could cash your check?
Oh. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I know that I didn't use any. I did cash my checks here, so.
Mm-hmm. Did they have any clubs or recreation groups?
I don't remember. They might have had some, you know, because Lockheed was established before I even went to it. Very possible.
Mm-hmm.
But not that I know of. Not that I remember, let me put it that way.
Mm-hmm. So you worked on the graveyard. Did you keep working on the graveyard shift through the rest of the war?
No, I went when I got my divorce. I quit. I went back east.
You quit working at Boston?
I quit.
Uh-huh.
And I was working there. My mother wanted me to go back. You know, she and so my mother. I went back.
And that was in 1944?
No. It might have been during 1943, 44, and 44. Well, I don't know. It might have been 40. Could have been the end of 43, beginning of 44. Before I actually got my divorce was final. Because
mm-hmm.
I came back, and I went back to, not Lockheed, but I worked in the defense.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it was before the war was, quite a while before the war was over.
Oh, yes, I had three jobs before the war, and three more jobs in the aircraft.
Oh.
Three.
So, well, time when you were at Lockheed and you had separated from your husband, after you separated, did you think at all about dating or?
Well, yes, I dated. I was, even though I was separate, well, I was getting divorced, I dated. I didn't date a lot. I didn't date anybody from Lockheed. I didn't date a lot. I was enjoying myself. By enjoying myself, I was happy to go out. I knew it wasn't easy, but I left my husband. I felt good about that. I was working. My cousins had a lot of people come over. They had a lot of friends. And always, I wouldn't say always, it was it wasn't dull. There were two young men that I met from them that, I think I dated one was just sort of in the crowd. I dated one. In fact, I heard he got killed. But nothing serious. No, I'd have dated him if I'd have met someone. In fact, if I someone asked me to go out that I liked, I'd go out. But I didn't have many dates. More people coming in. They had some young friend. They were young too, like me. We were all young, and it just seemed like they knew an awful lot of people. I didn't know many people in California, even though I was here for a little while already. But they knew an awful lot of young people, and a lot of young fellows, you know. And so there's always somebody over the house, and we had fun. But I didn't mind. I wasn't, I got to go on a date. I did date, because after I dated while I was with him for a while, too. I went with one fellow. He was a merchant marine, and he wanted me while I was with him. And I don't know if I was divorced then. I might have been divorced. I'm not sure. But he wanted to, after a while, he wanted me to live with him instead of married, because he was married before and I was. And only reason I think back, because in those days, I'd never think of that. Now, I wouldn't think twice, you know, if that's what I wanted to do. But now it wouldn't bother me at all. In those days, if I lived by myself and didn't have anybody, I might have done that, you know. I don't know, because I did like him a lot. But in those days, I said, I could never do that. I said, I had my son and my mother, what would she think, you know. That was my prudish attitude. That was the one thing I really liked a lot.
So what kinds of things did you do for, on your time off? What was your time off?
Well, we knew an awful lot. It seemed like when the few dates I had, I was with my cousins a lot. We went on picnics. We went for rides, my cousin Jack girls. There was family. I was not so much her family, because her family was part of my ex's family. They were, but her husband Jack, I met them and liked them. They liked me too. I was sort of in the family. What did we do? We went to shows a lot. We went to movies a lot. We didn't have TV. We had radio. I didn't play too many. I like cards now. Those days I didn't play cards not much. I don't know the time. I read then, I still read, did a lot of reading. Seemed like we always did something.
So, did you do things, it sounds like sort of like as a family group?
Yes, definitely. I did things, that's why I say I was fortunate that we did things as a family group.
Did you ever go to a USO?
I never did. I never did.
Okay. Then I was wondering about, in terms of, with living them, how did you divide up, I have several questions. One was, in terms of, when you were living with them, did you pay them a rent?
I paid them.
How did you manage in terms of, say, shopping and...
I paid you to the food. I paid him. I didn't have to buy the food.
So she was glad.
I paid.
Was there an expectation that you do housework or anything like that?
Well, it's just that I did my share. There was no problem. I don't remember what I did, but I did my share. But there was friction between the kids. That was a problem.
Oh, so they also had kids.
They had two little girls, and I had a boy, and they got along real good. But sometimes I slept on the couch and in the dining room, and they had two bedrooms, and Jack and Evelyn slept in the bedroom. But he worked some nights, and I said he worked on night sleep with her. But the kids, they have two twin beds, and kids argue, and sometimes they fight, you know. And in fact, one time was so bad, I thought there was tension between the kids. And my cousins are awfully nice, but sometimes you feel the tension because of the kids. So I was desperate, and I didn't know what to do. So I thought maybe, somebody gave me the idea, maybe put him in a school. So it took $50 a month at that time. And today I don't know the name of that school. It was in L.A. It was a well-known school. It was recommended to me. And so I brought him in that school. One of the saddest things I ever did in my life was I thought I couldn't afford an apartment. I thought that was the best, be practical. So I put him in the school Oh, I'll never forget, he cried. And they said, well, we have to expect that. And I couldn't see him for, I think, 2 weeks or a week, probably 2 weeks, not a week. Well, I knew in 2 weeks, by 2 weeks, I said, that hurt me so much. I couldn't stand it, and I knew that I was going to take him out. But he stayed there. I kept him there a month, 4 weeks, and I took him back. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say the word, it didn't hurt him, but I that was the worst. I don't know why, I know why I did it, but I was so sad about the whole thing. And somehow the kids got along better. Maybe they needed a change or something, you know. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it wasn't fun, you know. We lying down on the couch, you know, it was comfortable, all right. When I felt bad, they were very nice to me. I felt bad, you know, there was company. I was tired. I had to get some rest before I went to work, you know. Then I had to go walk to the streetcar to get a bus, to get to another bus that took me Lockheed, you know. But overall, we managed. We got along.
Uh-huh. When did you quit?
Well, I got home and I didn't usually. I wasn't tired when I got home, so I might have laid down during the day sometimes. It depends, you know, the kids went to school. When I could, I'd lie down sometimes. But I always, if I could, would lie down maybe, even because not on the couch, you know. I mean, somebody sitting around and go in the bedroom and lie down. Maybe I'd try to go down at least 7 or 8 o'clock if I could. If I wasn't going and lay down for a couple of hours if possible. Somehow, I was tired a lot of times. Mm-hmm. But I know one thing, though. I never had enough sleep. But I know one thing. I learned to become a good sleeper. What sleep I did, I slept. I never was a very good sleeper. But since I worked at graveyard shift, I became a pretty good sleeper. Mm-hmm. The sleep I slept was pretty good.